Last week, if you remember, we learned the murmur about water and food, and the flying serpent came and bit them. And then they start asking Moses to please pray to God and ask God to remove this serpent. God did not remove it, but God told him, take a pole, put a brazen serpent on the pole, and lifted that pole and say, look at the serpent, and if you have poison, you will not die. And we learned that that was signifying that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, took our sickness, disease, sorrow, pain, and death. When you look at him, means believing him, we will live, we will not die. And then we learned Miriam died. Let's go to the Numbers chapter 20, verse 22 to 25. We read about Aaron's dying, and then God appointed Aaron's son after Aaron.
And the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came unto Mount Hor. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor, by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because ye rebelled against my word at the waters of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son, and bring them up unto Mount Hor.
Now here he says why Aaron cannot go to the promised land. He says because he also did not believe that the water can come from the rock, just speaking. God spoke to Moses because Aaron and Moses, when these people went against God and Moses and Aaron went to the Lord and fell on their faces and cried. So the God appeared and God said to Moses, what you're supposed to do, and Aaron heard it. The Moses did not speak to the rock and hit the rock twice, and that's what God is saying now, Aaron, you cannot go to the promised land. But we already studied that. Then we read in Numbers chapter 21, verse 16 and 17. Here we see they didn't ask anything, because last time when they asked the water, God got angry and serpent came and started biting. Now they forgot about the water and said, take the serpent away. After that, they never asked water. Go ahead.
And from thence they went to Beer, that is, the well whereof the Lord spake unto Moses, gather the people together, and I will give them water.
Here God saying, gather the people here, and I will give them water. They didn't ask it. They asked it before. They murmured. Serpent came. Serpent started biting. They said, take the serpent away. God did not take the serpent away. But now, when God's anger went away because Aaron died, his son became high priest, and now God's maybe feeling sorry about these people. He brought them there and said, now I'm going to give them the water. And see what happened, what these people did after God gave the water.
Then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing ye unto it.
See? Now these people, when they got the water, God said, I'm going to give you water here. They start singing. What they're talking, they are talking to the well, give us the water. Moses is supposed to say, the rock, give us the water. They got the message. Now we are not going to dig. We are not going to do any harm. We are just going to sing unto the Lord. God already promises water. Let's speak to this well and the water will come. That's what God is teaching us. Once we are believer not supposed to each and every time go and start bugging God. Why, Lord, this sickness? Why I getting headache? Why I'm losing job? Why my child is sick? That's not the way to go to God for prayer. Once you are believer, God has told us how to take care of your problems. Mark chapter 11, start reading from verse 22. First of all, he says you should have faith in God.
And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God.
See, first of all, he says, have faith in God. Now, if the person who is not a believer, he doesn't have faith in God. If you are a child of God, then you know who God is. You know who Jesus is, and you believe in God. If you believe in God, that means you know God is all-powerful. He is Almighty God. He can do anything. That's what the believing is all about. You cannot say, I believe Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, but I cannot believe he can heal me. That's not a faith. If you believe that Jesus Christ is a healer, he is a Savior, he is a provider, he supplies all the needs, because there is nothing impossible with God when you have faith. So that's why he said, first of all, have faith in God. Okay, read verse 23.
For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith.
This verse, many preachers used, and tell people, you say to the mountain, and mountain will be removed. And they think that because you quote the word, it will happen magic. So we can say, this is written here, so let the mountain move. Not because we say it is written and I'm quoting, so it should happen automatically. Doesn't happen. First thing said, you have to have faith in God. Once you have faith in God, then you can tell this mountain to be removed. And he says, you have to believe in your heart. Whatever you're saying, not because it is written and you reading like a parrot, you have to believe that what you're saying, God is capable to do it. If you don't have that kind of faith, it's not going to work. That's the simplest thing. Okay, let's read verse 24.
Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them.
Now see, here he says, now you're praying for certain thing. Whatever desire you have, that God should do it. Then you should say, when you have that desire, and when you're praying for that desire, then you pray, you believe that, I already got it. What does it mean? My God is all sufficient. He promised and he's going to do it. That's the kind of faith we should have. Not like when I'm praying and then you say, I don't think God is going to do it. Even though he said it, maybe not this time. This sickness is too big. Or my problem is too big. I don't think just quoting this Bible scripture is going to work. Then it will not work. He says in Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5, he says, delight in the Lord and what? He will give desires of your heart. If a person is not delighting in the Lord, how is he going to give his desire? That means that person has to have faith in God, he has to love the Lord, and he has to believe what God can do. And then when he prays, and after prayer, he should feel comfortable. I prayed, my God heard it, and I got the answer. I don't have to worry anymore. That's the kind of faith God wants. And that's the kind of faith he says, God kind of faith.
And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses.
See, now he says when you come to God, maybe in your house, maybe in a church, maybe in a private closet, you're going to ask something to God. So he said, when you come with a problem, Matthew chapter 5 verse 22, he says, if you have some problem with your brother, sister, mother, father, anybody, you fought with them, you're angry with them, and you come to prayer, he says, keep your offering there. Go to them and then ask forgiveness and then come back. The same way here, he says, when you're praying and you thought something that I'm angry at somebody or I did something wrong, and it's not in the will of God what I'm doing. And when he says you don't forgive somebody, and just come and say, Lord, give me this. Or I'm asking you, and according to these scriptures, you're supposed to do it. It will not work, because he said, you do not forgive others. Then how is your heavenly Father is going to forgive you? So in short, he's saying, our heart has to be clean. Then God will hear our prayer. That's what the word of God says. Righteous man prayer availeth much. What do you mean righteous? Righteous means there is no sin in you. that sin has to be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then in that same chapter, he says, James chapter 5, he says, when you pray for one another, forgive one another or confess your sins to one another. If I'm angry at that person and I'm going to pray, God is not going to listen. Or he's angry with me and I'm going to go and pray, it's not going to work. Two people has to say, you know what? I'm going to pray for you, but if you're mad at me, I'm going to ask you forgiveness. And that person says the same thing. Then prayer works. Otherwise, it doesn't work. We have to be in the will of God, then God can listen our prayer. See, Moses was the man of God. Aaron was the man of God. God told them, speak to that rock and let the water come. They didn't speak it. And somebody said, that's Moses' fault. Aaron didn't do anything. Moses, he did. Aaron is his big brother. He has to have some sense, right? He should say, Moses, didn't God talk to us? Didn't God tell us? But when you read that scripture, it says Moses lifted up his hand. When he said lift up his hand, Aaron has time to say, stop it. Don't do it. But he didn't say. Even though he hit one time, he had to lift up his hand second time. Aaron could stop him, but Aaron didn't do it. Aaron did three mistakes. First thing I can tell you, when they came from the Egypt, and Moses went to get the Ten Commandments, they tried to say, where is Moses? Let us make a God that can lead us. So Aaron didn't have courage to say, I'm not going to do it. If you want to kill me, kill me. Our God is watching. God already told us we should not make any images, and I'm not going to make it. That's why God already gave them the commandment, and then he said, now Moses, come, I'll give the written form. So he just compromised, and God did not kill Aaron at that time. Why Aaron asked forgiveness to Moses? Then second time, Miriam said to Aaron, you know what? I'm big sister, you're big brother. Why Moses has to be leader? We want to tell the Moses, you're doing all the things, we want to share this thing. You cannot do it alone. What happened? She became leper. And then Moses had to pray. Aaron asked forgiveness to Moses. Moses, we committed sin. So that's why Aaron didn't die at that particular time. This is the third time Aaron agreeing with the Moses, hitting the rock twice. He's supposed to stand for the truth, right? He said, okay, this time I'm going to tell Moses, you're doing wrong. Even though you are the servant of God, but God spoke to us and he said, speak to the rock and you're hitting it. That's why Aaron died. He says very clearly, we read it, why Aaron died. And then we see, now the people did not ask any water, but God gave them the water. And when they got the water, now they sing, they start singing to the well. And so point I'm making, God gives us authority. Well cannot talk, mountain cannot talk. But when you say, in the name of Jesus, mountain to be moved, it's not because you saying it, you're saying by the authority given by God. And that's what it, God listens to your prayer. Now when we finish the 21 chapter, now 22 chapter, if you go to Numbers, talks about Balaam and Balak. But I don't want to go to that story. There, God did not allow Balaam to curse the children of Israel. He tried, he went to east, he went to west, he went to north, he went to south, and God blessed the children of Israel. And that story you can read from Numbers 22 to 24. All of this story finished. Then what happens? Balak was mad, the king. And Balaam says, okay, I cannot do anything. God blessed the people. I cannot change it. And so he went to his house. Then we come to the Numbers 25. When the Numbers 25 comes and then you start reading, and all of a sudden, if you start reading from the verse 1, children of Israel start doing idol worship. And somebody will think, what in the world? Why these doing people like this? all of a sudden. But when you read that, let's start the first couple of verses. You don't have to read the whole thing.
And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods.
When this thing happened, somebody will say, why in the world these people did it? Up to now, they got punishment after punishment. And now they just sang the song that we are going to sing to the Lord, and we're happy people. And we see then 22 chapter to 24 chapter, Balaam start thinking to curse. Didn't happen. Then what happened? Why in the world these people start doing like this? And many people are confused. Many pastors are confused. They're thinking Balaam was the prophet. He was not the prophet of God. If he's a prophet of God, why should he go against cursing the children of God? If he's a prophet of God, simple is this. Prophet of God is not going to curse the children of God. He will be blessing the children of God. So he was not the prophet of God. So what happened? I think the Balaam may be called Balak or Matan, separate meaning. It's not in the word of God, but we see the proof. What he did, he said, you know, God only can curse the children of Israel if they start worshipping idols or start doing adultery or fornication. That's the only thing God doesn't like. And when you give your daughters to them, it will happen. They will be defeated. They will be killed. And exactly happened. So let's read verse 14 to 18, same chapter.
Now the name of the Israelite that was slain, even that was slain with the Midianitish woman, was Zimri, the son of Salu, a prince of a chief house among the Simeonites. And the name of the Midianitish woman that was slain was Cozbi, the daughter of Zur. He was head over a people and of a chief house in Midian. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, vex the Midianites and smite them. For they vex you with their wiles, wherewith they have beguiled you in the matter of Peor, and in the matter of Cozbi, the daughter of a prince of Midian, their sister, which was slain in the day of the plague for Peor's sake.
You have to read the whole story. What happened here, as soon as they start doing adultery and worshipping their god, the plague started. 24,000 people died in that day. Read the verse 8 and 9.
And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly, so the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000.
Now you can see, plague stopped because this man took care of the person who started this. This lady was not ordinary lady. She was Midianite priest's daughter. And this man also was not ordinary man. He was one of the head of the tribes. And so they committed this horrible sin. And so the one of the priests went and killed them. And then plague stopped. 24,000 people died. Now goes to the number chapter 31. And start reading for verse 1 to 8.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites. Afterward shalt thou be gathered unto thy people. And Moses spake unto the people, saying, arm some of yourselves unto the war, and let them go against the Midianites, and avenge the Lord of Midian. Of every tribe 1,000 throughout all the tribes of Israel shall ye send to the war. So there were delivered out of the thousands of Israel 1,000 of every tribe, 12,000 armed for war. And Moses sent them to the war, 1,000 of every tribe, them and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, to the war with the holy instruments, and the trumpets to blow in his hand. And they warred against the Midianites, as the Lord commanded them, as the Lord commanded Moses, and they slew all the males. And they slew the kings of Midian, beside the rest of them that were slain, namely Evi and Rechem and Zor and Hor and Reba, 5 kings of Midian. Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword.
Now see here, when even the plague stopped, God says to Moses, you destroy all these Midianites. And they had a war, and they killed so many Midianites. Now if you read the whole chapter, I don't have time, some of the people, what they did, they just killed males. Moses got mad, every woman and every child and everybody. Only they said keep the young girls who do not know the person, means very young age, keep those girls. Everybody was killed. And especially they said, Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew with a sword. This is the man started all this, because God could not curse through him. So now he got a crooked way to teaching the Balak, the king, or Moabites and Midianites, let's do this so God can destroy his people. And 24,000 people died. So God said, now take care of these enemies. We do not want this enemy coming against the children of Israel, and they will be sore thumb. So completely destroy them. Not a single Midianite was left in, according to this chapter. And then they killed the Balaam also. Now, why I'm saying this, especially in this scripture, it says, the Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. Now, word use the sword. If something comes to your mind, you remember when Balaam was riding on that donkey, and donkey was trying to save his life because the angel was coming in between to kill the Balaam, and she crushed his feet in the one alley, and he got so mad, he said, if I had the sword, I would have killed you. So the word of God said, you wanted to kill her with the sword. So that's what happened to him. Okay, now go to the book of Joshua, chapter 13, verse 22. Who the Balaam is, Joshua is saying.
Balaam also, the son of Beor, the soothsayer, did the children of Israel slay with the sword among them that were slain by them.
So who is this man? He says, this man is a soothsayer. It's not a real prophet. He is the demonic person. He is doing everything according to the demonic influence. He is not a godly prophet. And so he kind of soothsayer. Okay, let's read then the Jude, verse 11.
Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah.
Now he says, greedily after the error of Balaam. So what the Balaam's problem was? Balaam's problem, he was greedy. His thoughts, his ideas were evil. He was in error, means he was not the right prophet. The prophet cannot do error. And not only that, he was a greedy, and he wanted to kill the children of Israel. And that's what his idea was. That's what the Jude is saying. Go to the 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14 and 15.
Having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children.
See, this fits to the Balaam's behavior. Okay, verse 15.
Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bosor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness.
His way was unrighteous. He was greedy for money. And he was teaching the wrong way. So the Balaam is not a good example as a prophet. We cannot say, oh, he was a prophet of God and God spoke to him. And so here he says that Balaam was a bad person. He was not a good man. He was a man hungry for money, man for evil doing, showing the wrong way, doing error, and misleading people. Revelation chapter 2, verse 14.
But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication.
Here, God is talking. Jesus Christ is talking. This thing happened thousands of years ago. What the Balaam's doctrine is? Doctrine is simply teaching. Balaam was teaching to the Moabites and Midianites how we can destroy the children of Israel. How can we tell them to do adultery? How can we tell them to do idol worship? And how he was after the money that Balak can give it to him. So he says everything. What his doctrine was, Balaam also taught Balak to cast stumbling block before the children of Israel. That was a stumbling block, doing something wrong which God doesn't approve. And then he says, before the children of Israel, to eat the things sacrificed unto idols. And that's what exactly they did. And to commit fornication. So these are the things Balaam was teaching. That's why it's called Doctrine of Balaam. And some people do all of these things and do not even think this is the doctrine of Balaam. We are the children of God, and we have to have a fear of God. We should not be doing anything wrong for the money purpose or pleasing somebody. This Balaam was a wrong prophet, soothsayer, trying to kill the Israeli people, and it didn't work. So he took the tactic, let the children of Israel start worshiping the idols and start doing fornication and commit everything against the will of God. And that's what happened. And that's why 24,000 Israeli people died in one day. Now we're coming to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 5 to 9. Now here, in this chapter, Moses dies.
So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses.
Now here we see new leader. Joshua was with Moses from the beginning, when they started a journey. Now here we saw last week, if you remember, Moses made a mistake. When God told him, speak to the rock and water will come, he struck the rock twice. That's the reason we learned a few minutes ago, Aaron died. And now Moses also could not go to the promised land, and he died, and he ordained Joshua. Now they are starting a journey. They have a new leader. And when you read Joshua chapter 1 to chapter 6, Joshua gives them a warning, tells them what to do, what not to do. Everybody says, we are going to listen to you. We are not going to disobey like we did before. And everything they said it okay. Then comes to the Joshua chapter 7. Let's go. Now here, something happened. When you read the Joshua chapter 6, they even went and got the Jericho. And they did not find one bullet, one sword, nothing. Just the praising God, and that city fell. Chapter 7, Joshua chapter 7, start reading from the beginning.
But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted, and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes, and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads.
Now see the story here. They were able to defeat Jericho. Jericho was a big city. They had the walls all around. And now the Ai is a small village, small place. And so they said to Joshua, we don't need too many people. A couple of hundred people will do, and we can defeat those people. But what happened when they went to Jericho? God told them that city is cursed. Do not take anything out of this city. You have to read everything. And they said, if you find silver, gold, or any precious metal, we will keep it in a God's treasury. But don't take anything out of that city. And that was the rule before they went for fighting. But this one of the men, what he did, Achan, he said, okay, who knows? Nobody knows. He took some garments and some silver and some gold, went to his tent, digged the hole, buried everything, and nobody knows. And now when they went there, they got defeated. That's what we are learning. When the children of God do something wrong, then the punishment of God comes. And some people say, why me, Lord? Why did I do? That's what the Word of God says. We have to check our heart before we ask God to heal us or give something. We have to see, did we do something wrong? Now, Joshua didn't know what these people did. So he went to God. He fell on his face. And he started crying, and all Israeli people start crying, putting dust on their head, because we read words before, their heart were melted like a water. Means they got so much fear. Why fear? Because they thought, we came there and we defeated the Jericho and surrounding places we defeated so many places. And now this news is going to go around, and these people could not defeat Ai, so let's go back and destroy these children of Israel. Now they have no strength. Something is wrong. When one person did some mistake, many people defeated, and their heart was melted like a water, and they were scared, and Joshua got scared, and he didn't know what to do. And God tells him, get up, Joshua. Let's read a little bit further. Yes, keep going.
And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us around, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name?
This is what the Joshua is talking to God. This is what's going to happen. All other nations, all other people are going to kill us. That's the way Moses talked to God a couple of times. Why you brought these people to kill them in the wilderness? Same thing Joshua is talking. See what God is saying to him.
And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff.
Joshua lived with the people. He didn't know who did it, but God in heaven knew what's happening here. And so God is trying to tell Joshua, not because your few people went to defeat Ai, and I was not able to help you to defeat, there is a sin in your camp. If the sin is not taken it out, God cannot do anything. So what we're learning from this? God is looking at our heart. We cannot do it ourselves. You have to just say, Lord, please forgive all my sins. Come into my heart, be my Lord and be my Savior. So now here, God is going to show Joshua how to find the thief. Let's go.
Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you.
See, this is what God told him. We don't have time to read the whole chapter. We'll read it from verse 19. When you have time, you can go home and read the whole chapter. They found out the man. But how they found out the man, you have to read it in the Word of God.
And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him. And tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord.
We don't have to read whole things, so you can go home and read it. I don't want to read it because there are little children sitting here. So in short, they didn't know who the man was. So they called all the tribes of Israel, name by name. Then one tribe came, and then tribe, they found out the man, one person's name. Then they said, okay, go to this man. And he called the man and asked him. He repented. He said, okay, I did this. And somebody said, this man already confessed and showed where the things are. Why this man has to be punished? But they want to take care of this sinful man. Finally, they took care of him and cleansed the place. And that's what Joshua did. And there was a fear among all people. One man committed sin. All other children of Israel suffered. So they want to take care of that sin out of the Israeli people. Same thing happens. One person in the family does some kind of mistake, whole family suffers. The Word of God says Adam committed sin and the sin came to the whole world. One man died for the whole world and whole world got saved. So in short, God wants to save whole world. But the people cannot get saved until the people confess their sins. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 to 9. It says, first of all, the person has to know he is a sinner, and he committed sin, and then he has to confess that sin.
But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
See, here he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. What does it mean? If you go and talk to the people on the street, are you a sinner? No. Are you a good man? Yes, I am. And when you start asking the person deeper and deeper thing, did you lie any time? Oh, everybody lies. What the Bible says? Bible says all liars will go to hell. There is no other way. And if somebody says, all the Ten Commandments you ask, everybody will come short and say, I committed sin. What is the solution? Just confess. Don't deny that I'm not a sinner. If somebody says, if I'm not a sinner, then God is not going to punish me. God is not going to go according to our standard. God has his holy standard. Because somebody says, oh, that person stole $1 and I just took 5 cents. Doesn't matter, 5 cents or a dollar. Thief is a thief. It comes from your heart. Same way, the Word of God says, if you look at one woman with a lustful eyes, you already did adultery in your spirit. So the point I'm saying, the Word of God says, if somebody says, I don't have a sin, I'm not a sinner, then he says, and the truth is not in us. What Jesus Christ said, ye shall know the truth, and what? Truth shall set you free. Just think that one person did some mistake. Now somebody said, did you do this? No. To hide that, that person has to lie. Then that person forgets what he said to other person. He keep on lying after lying after lying. But just think, the first time somebody asked him, he said, this is what I done, and told the truth. Then he doesn't have to hide. We want to be free in our heart. If we commit sin, or some people even they kill somebody and nobody knows, but they cannot sleep. Until they confess, some people confess in their sleep. Somebody tells some of their loved ones and the truth comes out. Here it says, we have to say, I'm a sinner. Don't hide your sin and don't tell, I'm not a sinner. Read the verse 9. Because our God is good. He says here, if we confess our sins, He is faithful. Who is He? Our God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are faithful. And just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now somebody says, what is unrighteousness? Any sin against God is unrighteousness. We can make the list of the sins. There will be million sins. But in short, anything you do against the will of God is sin. You know the truth, you want to do good, and you don't do it, it is sin. You want to do something good. You have a good intention, but you're not doing it. That becomes sin. So what is the sin? Anything against God you did and your heart condemning, the word of God says, if our heart condemns us, then we don't have confidence towards God. If our heart doesn't condemn us, then we have confidence towards God. That means the unholy person, sinner, cannot stand before God. So what he needs? The cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ. So God says, no matter what kind of sin you have committed, just come and ask me and I'll forgive you. And when your sins are forgiven and what? Forgotten. There is no record of our sins when we come to the Lord. Okay, the time is up. Go back to the book of Joshua. And Joshua gives teaching to these people before he dies. Joshua chapter 23, verse 16.
When ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you.
So now he's saying, if you do idol worship, if you go against God, you go into another land, you will be destroyed. Okay, Joshua 24, verse 2. 24:2.
And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods.
Do you know who is the Terah? Is the father of Abraham. That's why we know when God called Abraham, he says Abraham's forefathers were idol worshippers. And God says, leave your father's land, follow me. And Abraham followed God. Here is the proof that his family were idol worshippers. Okay, verse 14.
Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord.
See, here also says, now we are out of Egypt. Egypt means sin, sinful land. Coming out of Egypt means coming out of sinful land or sinful activities. Verse 20.
If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good.
He says, once you forsake the living God and go after the idols. Somebody says, we are not doing idols. There are so many idols in our life. When you go away from God and make the money your God, or job your God, or children your God, or husband your God, or wife your God, or car your God, or house your God. There was one lady, she said, please pray for me, I should get a house. When they got the house, she stopped coming to church. I said, why are you not coming? Oh, I want to enjoy the house. I said, what do you do? I look at the wall, I look at everywhere, I enjoying house. I said, ma'am, God gave you a house. Enjoy the Lord. Otherwise, that house will be gone. So many houses are repossessed. You know, you cannot just enjoy the house. So that's why he's saying, if you go after heathen God and give the living God, then you will have trouble. You will have problem. That's where the problem comes. Verse 23.
Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your hearts unto the Lord God of Israel.
Give up the strange god, give up the strange idea, follow the Lord. Verse 26.
And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone, and set it up there under an oak, that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us. For it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God.
Can you imagine? He put a stone there, and he talked to them, and he said, look, this stone will be our witness. You remember Jesus Christ says, if you stop these people praising God, the stone will cry out. Same way Joshua is saying, if you commit sin, you promise me today, I set up the stone here, I gave the commandment that you are not going to do idol worship anymore, you are not going to go after a strange god, you are going to follow the Lord, and you promise me this stone is witness. And if you do something wrong, this stone will cry out. This stone will witness against you. Can you imagine? We don't know the stone talks. But Jesus Christ said, say to this mountain, right? A few minutes ago we learned. And that mountain will be moved. That stone can hear you. Stone can talk to you. If God wants you to get the witness, stone will give you witness. That means when you look at the stone, you would know this is the stone. Joshua put it as a witness. Remember Jesus Christ said to Peter, you will deny me three times? Peter said, no, I will not deny you. And when he denied three times, Jesus didn't have to say anything. Jesus just looked at Peter. Just eye contact. Peter got the message, what Jesus Christ was saying. The same way, when they're looking at this stone, they will remember, this is what Joshua said, and this stone is witnessing to us. Okay, let's finish the chapter. Joshua chapter 24, verse 29 to 33, and we're finishing here.
And they buried him in the border of his inheritance at Timnath-Serah, which is in Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gath. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver. And it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. And Eleazar the son of Aaron died, and they buried him in a hill that pertained to Phinehas his son, which was given him in Mount Ephraim.
Now in here, in summary, what happened here? When Joseph was in Egypt, he said, God is going to deliver you from Egypt. Take my bones. You remember? When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, Moses and his people took his bone. And now they were still in journey. When they reached to the place, his bone were rested, buried there. That's one thing. Eleazar's son, Phinehas, this is the man who killed that sinful people doing adultery, the Midianese priest's daughter, and the other man. This is the man killed. And so God anointed him as a priest, high priest, and Joshua died in old age. And here the book of Joshua finishes. Now, after the book of Joshua, start book of Judges. But we are not studying the books. What we studied up to now, we studied how the sickness and disease came into this world, and how God helping the children of Israel or any Christian or anybody, how the people get healed, delivered, and set free. And when we do something wrong, the sin, sickness, disease, death comes. So what the message is for us, stay with the Lord, listen to the word of God, follow the Lord. We will have healing, prosperity, eternal life, and good life in this world and world to come. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to study the Word of God. We commit ourselves into a loving hand. We do not want to go astray from God. We don't want to do fornication, adultery, or idol worship. Let our mind be set on Jesus Christ, because He is coming to take us home. In this world, we did not bring anything. Out of this world, we cannot take anything, because we are living for You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.